know that there are some people in this world that did not tune in to the Alliance Vlog Podcast. Shame on you!
Shame on you! My name is Ella Indy, and I'm one half of the NWA Women's World Tag Team Champion.
And I'm Kinsey Page, the other half of the NWA World Women's Tag Team Champion.
And you better go listen to the Alliance Vlog. What is it called?
Podcast, period!
Or you're ugly. Period. Power approved.
He's not talking to me, is he? I mean, could he? I don't think that I'm on William Patrick Corgan's radar. I mean, honestly, he is a multi-platinum record-selling alternative rock god. So I don't think the words of J. Cal are reaching his palatial estate in Highland Park, Chicago, Illinois. I don't think the words that are coming out of my mouth are reaching one William Patrick Corgan, but it sure feels like it. It feels like everything that I say he just refuted in the Chris Valet video that recently surfaced this week. In fact, I think it came out yesterday. In fact, you guys were asking about it in the live stream when I was talking about, these clearly defined roles for faces and heels in the NWA. And of course, I know that's not an idea that William Patrick Corgan has embraced in the past, nor does it appear that he'll be embracing that in the future. It's a really great interview, to be quite honest, and I did like hearing it. I don't believe any of the information was new. At least it wasn't new for me. But it might be new for you, and in which case, I definitely recommend you should check it out. Obviously, after this podcast, yeah, I don't know why I said that. After this podcast, go listen to that Chris Valet podcast. I sure hope I'm saying his name right. I'm so bad with enunciation of people's names, but he's a great dude. Great interviews. I've always enjoyed listening to him. And his interview with Billy was pretty good. You know, Billy showed a little bit of personality. he's still the guy that wants all the credit in the room, and you know, at least he owns it, and I can respect and appreciate that. But I guess we're never gonna see eye to eye on things, Billy. If you're hearing this, I guess we're just gonna have to agree to disagree. Now, that doesn't mean I'm gonna stop watching Power. It also doesn't mean I'm gonna stop criticizing Power. I'm also gonna continue to proclaim the greatness that is Billy Corgan with the things that he does. There's a lot of good things that I do enjoy in the NWA. There's a lot of things that excite me about the NWA. There's a lot of things that I think are noteworthy in the NWA and people should be watching. I don't know if they're leveraged to be number three. I don't know if they're leveraged to be competing with the World Wrestling Entertainment and All Elite Wrestling, but I certainly appreciate the moxie. You know, you got to believe in yourself. You got to bet on yourself. And I really feel like that's where Billy Corgan is at. You know, the world is a vampire sent to drain, but Mr. Billy Corgan is out there, making this wrestling his own. If you like it, sit back and enjoy it. If you don't like it, not a whole lot you can do about it. Times are tough now, guys, and it's no joke out here. That's why I'm very proud to be partnering with the Upside app. They're leveling the playing field, guys. They're giving you opportunities to earn cash back on purchases for groceries, purchases for gasoline, purchases for food. These are the things we all spend our money on all the time. I believe in Upside. I use Upside weekly. My lifetime earnings is over $408. And you too can be earning cash back on your Philips, your groceries, or your eating out experiences just by signing up. And it's free. By using my invite code JASON75338, that's JASON75338, you'll earn $5 cash back on your first fill-up. Use the link in the video description or download the app, but make sure you use that invite code JASON75338 and make money by using the Upside app. All right, so kind of what I wanted to talk about today was clearly defined baby faces, or really just clearly defined faces and heels. I feel like that's maybe one of the biggest opportunities that the NWA has as of late, which is kind of ironic because going back just a couple of months ago, there was an article, and I couldn't find it to pull it up today, but that's what our pal Trevor Murdoch had suggested, is that the NWA was going towards a clearly defined heel and face dynamic, which is, I feel like, is exactly the opposite of what we've been given. Because when the NWA started in 2017 under the guidance of Billy Corgan, you did have a clearly defined face in Tim Storm. Now, prior to the Lightning One era of the NWA, Tim Storm kind of bounced around. He wasn't necessarily a heel. He wasn't necessarily a face. He's mostly a tweener. But the minute that they started the 10 Pounds of Gold series, he 100% became a face. He was 100% for the fans. And you had this guy, you know, Nick Aldis. And when he came onto the scene, he was 100% not a face. He, in fact, was a heel, very much a heel. And see, and this is the, I got caught up because Heebs just made a great point in our live stream chat. And he says, oh, man, Billy on the recent Chris Van Vliet podcast just talked about this. And yeah, he's anti-clearly defined lines. And that's been a hallmark for the NWA for most of his tenure. Like I said, in 2017, we had a clearly defined face. We had a clearly defined heel. And then all of that changed once the belt went on Nick Aldis. And at that point, when Aldis walked into to Port Hueneme and the championship wrestling from Hollywood, the Ocean View Pavilion, I mean, he walked in as a conquering hero. And not, you know, 3 months prior were the fans cheering for Tim Storm. Now they were cheering for Nick Aldis and the 10 pounds of gold, which is understandable. You always kind of want to cheer the champ, right? But then, you know, at that point, the only heel thing that Aldis did was, you know, cement his intentions to challenge for the 10 pounds of gold. It wasn't until really we didn't get an Aldis heel turn till the first episode of Power, because everything that happened in Ring of Honor was still a Ring of Honor versus NWA, and there was no real, like, there wasn't a need for a clearly defined heel or baby face. Aldis didn't cheat to defeat Tim Storm. He beat him outright. He beat him outright in Philadelphia, December 9th, 2017. And then with the Aldis Crusade, again, there was nothing overtly heelish about that run that Nick Aldis was on. He was just the conquering champion. That's what a champion does. A champion celebrates his victories. A champion goes out there and defends the 10 pounds of gold, whether it be in Austin or Boston, right? Whether it's in Antarctica or in Australia, he would be all over the place, and which was great. It was good for the NWA. It was good for the title. It was good for Nick Aldis. But then when we finally get to Power, and we're no longer dealing with Ring of Honor shows, we're no longer main eventing championship wrestling from Hollywood. Now we're at Power, and the focus is Power. And the first opportunity they get, they make Aldis a heel by having Camille interfere on Tim Storm's behalf, or excuse me, on Nick Aldis's behalf. And that kind of set the precedent. And then we would get the wild cards, who up until that point were actually wrestling against Nick Aldis, joined and became part of Strictly Business. And Eli Drake, who at the time was, everyone kind of thought was a heel, was actually more of a face. And it became this weird dynamic where now you weren't even sure anymore, because even though Nick Aldis acted like a heel, the fans were cheering for him. Strictly Business was getting revered by the fans. But then on the flip side, right? On the flip side, you had Tim Storm still getting revered by the fans. And honestly, like, people who traditionally would be considered heel were getting cheered. Aaron Stevens was really, like, the only guy getting booed in Atlanta, if memory serves me. Like, Ricky Starks was getting cheers. Trevor Murdoch was getting cheered. Zicky Dice was getting cheered. Thunder Rosa was getting cheered. I mean, everybody was getting cheered in Atlanta. And then it started to kind of disintegrate into where we were getting more clearly defined, or excuse me, less clearly defined heels and faces. And then we just had this like gray area. And in fact, one of the persons that was behind a lot of the production back in the day told me that the NWA sees wrestling, and I guess this is coming from Billy Corgan's mouth, that the NWA defines wrestling more realistic. So there isn't clearly defined faces or heels, because in the real life, there's shades of gray, varying shades of gray. Good guys do bad things sometimes, and bad guys do good things sometimes. But my problem with that is, in a world of reality where shitty things are happening all the time, and I turn on the TV and I see people talking about domestic violence or domestic terrorism or, you know, kids, I'm not going to get into all of that. I'm just going to say, sometimes I want to escape that reality. Sometimes I want a world that's clearly defined, people that I could cheer for, people that I can boo. And I think it's a very, very poor creative choice to not give me a simple way to cheer for your talent or to boo for your talent. So if that means that if everyone has some redeeming quality, then and nobody is the hero and everyone's an anti-hero, then it's hard to really, that's what I'm looking for. You guys are referencing Chris Valet's interview. I did not see it yet. I probably will later. But this whole mindset is in stark contradiction to what we heard that Trevor Murdoch was supposed to have this. He stated in an interview not too long ago that Billy was really trying to push that more face, more heel narrative. So it just feels kind of like a little bit of a, what's the word I'm looking for? It feels like a contradiction. And look, contradictions aren't strange to pro wrestling. They sure as hell aren't strange to, it's nothing new to the NWA, is at least how we've been consuming it as of late. But I don't know, man. You wonder why sometimes wrestlers don't get a reaction. You're not training us to give you a reaction. Kerry Morton for the last year has been treading a thin line between being a babyface and a heel. He overtly crossed those lines when he went to Mexico. When he came back, he was back skating on that babyface side. And then after the actions of the Southern Six in Australia, that's when he just broke through that line and he was portraying the heel, even though his papa was a babyface, and then vice versa. Yes, it goes back to this ain't rocket science t-shirt. Then what is it, Billy? If it's not rocket science, then what is this? Because it's difficult to watch. It's hard to understand what they want from us, because if we don't react to the crowd, if the crowd doesn't react to what's happening in the ring, then they say it's because the audience was weak, the audience was bad. How about the audience doesn't know who to cheer for, so they get confused? Because you'll send somebody out there like, let's say Odinson, who on the surface acts like a heel, but then you put him in the ring against another guy who on the surface, Zion, is a heel. And then you watch them wrestle and both of them are trying to out-heel each other. Who are we supposed to cheer for? I think this is a problem. Look, it's a problem of wrestling in general, but when we have this narrow focus, high intensity on the NWA, there's a microscope from this live stream every Tuesday. There's a microscope on the NWA and we examine what we like and what we don't like. And we try to determine how can we make this better? And I think it is a flawed strategy to try to keep this facade of this gray area, because you know what, if you told me that Chris Adonis is the babyface and I give me a reason to cheer for Chris Adonis, then I'm going to cheer for Chris Adonis. And when he steps into the ring against EC3 for the 10 pounds of gold, I know that Adonis is the face, EC3 is the heel. Got it. Cheer for this guy, boo this guy. But if you're going to tell me that both of them are kind of good and both of them are kind of bad, then it's like, well, what the hell are who are we supposed to root for here? What's the plan? And I feel like that's just absurd. Like, from a merchandising standpoint, you're not supposed to buy, you're not supposed to sell heel merchandise. Selling heel merchandise is admitting that they're not heels. You're not supposed to like them. If you like the heel, then they're not doing their job. Even MJF, as good as he is, the crowd are going nuts for him. They should be selling merch of his. He should have t-shirts. You're not supposed to like him. He's supposed to be the asshole. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me in the chat that I'm wrong. Explain to me where I'm missing the point here. But let's get to some of your comments, because I think you guys have always great insight, and I'm always curious as to what you're thinking. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can enlighten me, or maybe you agree with me. Help give me some ammunition. Let's talk about it. I did hear that. I haven't watched the Chris Van Vliet. Can we just call him CVV? I haven't heard Chris's podcast yet. He is somebody I enjoy watching. I think he does a great job. Somebody might have even been you, Heebs, said that he should be locked up to a contract somewhere working for the wrestling promotion. I don't disagree with that. I think that's a smart move. Steve G says, NWA, for the most part, are tweeners. And that's okay. Like, it's okay to have a few tweeners. Stone Cold Steve Austin is probably the most famous tweener of all time. The Rock was very much an anti-hero. I get it, but like, not everyone on the roster needs to be a tweener. You know, like a friend of our show, Jeremiah Plunkett, I mean, like, I feel like he should be a babyface, but they treat him like a heel. A former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, a former national champion, former North American champion, former tag team champion. You would think that Jack Stane should be over as a babyface, but no, they treat him as a heel. And then even the Country Gentleman. I'm watching HB Cares for Cooper, the fundraising show that they just released on Saturday. And when you've got Country Gentleman coming out and they're giving their hats and title belts to young Cooper, I mean, it's sweet and generous and wonderful, beautiful moment, but like, are they faces now? It's just a little confusing to me, and I don't get it, and maybe I'm wrong. Jammin says, I saw the Seven Levels of Hate documentary and saw you, Jay Cal. You know, we recorded a lot more footage in there than we actually got that was actually used. It was kind of sad. At the same time that documentary was being worked on, there was another documentary, the history of the NWA. We recorded a lot of footage for that, and I was featured quite prominently in there. Not to brag or anything, but they used a lot of the footage, which was like really cool to me. And then Adam Pierce does his documentary. I shoot some footage for it. It's like, here's 5 seconds. And I'm like, okay, recorded for an hour or so, but okay. What was really cool is back then, my wife, then girlfriend, was taking a lot of the photos that you would see that we posted on the website. So like the Alliance Dash Wrestling got a thank you in the movie credits. My wife, Michelle, was credited as being a photographer for the movie. So all that was really cool. It was a fun experience just to be a part of it. And again, like I lived it too. Like I was there. I mean, I was for some of the matches, but you know, I got some of those emails that he was talking about in that documentary. I was CC'd on some of that stuff. I was BCC'd on some of it as well. But, you know, some of it was never meant for me to see, but I saw a lot of things I wasn't supposed to. Willie says, Aldis was a far better champion than Tyrus. That's not even debatable, man. Like, and I don't like Nick Aldis. You guys, I've made it clear. I don't like Aldis. I probably don't have to keep saying that. But I would take Aldis back in a heartbeat than Tyrus. And I can't deny that either. Kayfabe Soup said Billy did confirm that the plan was to put the 10 pounds of gold on Eli Drake. Yeah, let me tell you something, dummy. Initially Eli Drake was one of the top three considered. We've mentioned this before, and it was Drew McIntyre was the first guy. They were going to build the whole thing around Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre goes and gets signed by the WWE, and then that's when Dave Marquez presents the idea of, hey, why don't you buy the NWA? And then at that point, their options were initially the options were Eli Drake, EC3, and believe it or not, Aldis was like the third guy, but Aldis was also the one who was most available. And don't get me wrong, this isn't, I'm not trying to knock on Aldis. I think he was probably the best choice. I don't know that as much as I love LA Knight, Eli Drake, Sean Ricker, what he's doing right now is phenomenal. I don't know that he could have carried the NWA the same way that Nick Aldis did. And I guarantee EC3 wouldn't have had the same road that Nick Aldis did. I think Nick Aldis was the perfect choice in that moment. Could Eli Drake have carried the company? I'm sure he could have. Could EC3 carry the company? Well, I sure hope so, because he's who I want to carry the company going forward. But I think Aldis was the perfect choice at the time. So weird for me to be complimentative of someone I don't really like, but I also don't lie to you guys. I tell you how I see it for reals. And then Paladin says, did you see the interview? No, I guess I have to now. And then Chris says, does it matter that Billy was going to make it? Yeah, see, that's the thing too. Like, shoulda, woulda, coulda. There's so much things that Billy could have done. You know, like, it's kind of a bullshit thing to say. Like, oh yeah, we're going to put the title on LA Knight. Okay, why didn't you? You know, instead we got Marty Scurll twice. Or I guess we never got it a second time. We got Flip Gordon, you know? Why do we need a Flip Gordon versus Nick Aldis match? We could have had Eli Drake. You remember, he didn't win the tag titles till much later in that first season. It wasn't like the first episode he was there. He wasn't in the national title picture, and he sure as hell wasn't in the TV title picture. They put up the tag titles on him to keep him as far away from singles competition as they could get. Yeah. Thank you for tuning in to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of Alliance-Wrestling.com, the premier source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. Would you consider subscribing so you never miss a new episode? You can follow us on all social media at the Alliance Blog, and we stream live on Twitch, Kick, and YouTube every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 5 p.m., 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. Eastern at the Alliance Blog. Until then, we are the Alliance.